When author and public intellectual Susan Jacoby was with us a few months ago, we were discussing her latest book titled Strange Gods, A Secular History of Conversion. Great book. The conversation shifted to the strange politics that we're enduring this year, and then we just ran out of time as we were really just getting started. Susan graciously promised to make time to continue the conversation, and I really looked forward to us picking up where we left off, and that's what we're going to do today. Susan, welcome back to State of Belief Radio.
I'm happy to be here.
We're seeing a mass conversion to Trumpism happening right before our eyes, aren't we?
You just can't get off the politics, can you? I don't know. I don't know if political conversions, I do talk about them a bit in my book, because while I don't consider conversions to secularism like religious conversions normally, let's say you were a devout Catholic and you become an atheist, with one exception, if the conversion is tied to an ideology, which is as evidence-proof as some religious ideologies are, Stalinist communism obviously was the biggest example of that in the last century. So in one way, there is something about Trumpism that might be something like the experience of religious conversion. I just can't imagine any God looking like Trump. Of all the ways in which I've ever envisaged God, I've never imagined that. But in the sense that a lot of what Trump says seems to be evidence proof, in the sense that he can say he's pro-life and anti-abortion now. He can say he was entirely pro-choice years ago. And his answer to that is well, that's what I said then, and this is what I'm saying now. And that in itself is kind of an evidence proof sort of thing. I wouldn't go too far with this analogy because I don't know how far we're talking about conversion or people just being fed up with the status quo. But when you think about religious conversions, especially eras of mass conversion, look at the Reformation. That's your thing. When you look at the Reformation, people were fed up with the Catholic Church's selling of indulgences. Ancient states were breaking down. There is often disillusionment with established institutions that's involved with religious conversion on a mass scale. Eras like the Reformation, like the triumph of Christianity in the late Roman Empire, in which millions of people convert from one. There has to be a breakdown of faith in existing institutions for that many people to convert at once. Obviously, a million people don't wake up at one point and think, oh, I believed in this God yesterday. I believe in this one today.
We often complain about attempts to inject religion into our politics. But where I sit, it looks like right now, politics is actually behaving like a religion.
That's a really interesting thought. Certainly right now, I mean, we don't know. I mean, remember, we are talking in May. This is Memorial Day weekend we're going into. We don't know whether some of the issues that are thought of as traditionally religious are going to come to the fore. But one of the things that strikes me about this campaign is the silliness of some of the issues that are being connected to religion, like this bathroom issue for transgendered people, a solution for something that isn't a problem at all, and yet it's being talked about in the name of religion. Some of the serious religious issues which we've had in politics for a long time, the separation of church and state, that's not what's being talked about now. We're talking about whether somebody who looks like a girl can go into the ladies' room and not have to go into the men's room.
Mm-hmm. Susan, I know you have a lot of interesting conversations with very bright people. I'm curious, what are you hearing from the people with whom you talk, and what do you find yourself saying about this political season?
Well, here's something I feel strongly about, and I have a lot of acquaintances and friends within the community, which might broadly be called the human rights community, which includes both religious and non-religious people. And I think, you know, one of the examples of the kind of serious religious issue that is not being talked about in this campaign, and this is related to my subject, conversion, too, is the right of people to choose what religion they want wherever they are. If you are born a Hindu in India, if you want to convert to Christianity or Islam, or if you want to be a free thinker in Bangladesh instead of being a Muslim, you should be able to do it without being hacked to death by thugs on the streets, or in the case of Saudi Arabia, being imprisoned for blogging about things like women's rights. Often the very term religious liberty has been hijacked by the religious right. So that religious liberty generally means the idea that somebody is opposing the injection of the most conservative forms of Christianity into government. Religious liberty has been hijacked by the religious right. But what religious liberty really means to me, and it is a huge human rights issue on the world, is the right to choose to believe what you believe, which millions of people down around the world don't have. Where are all of these people who are in the primaries talking about this? It's absolutely amazing how this has not been talked about. Religious liberty is the right to marry whom you want, and if you want to convert and not have your family take you home and lock you up and kill you for dishonoring the family. And these are things that presidential candidates should be knowledgeable about and talking about.
Okay, you're sitting across from, now don't do it to me, but you're sitting across from someone who represents the media. I don't want to represent the media, but what would you say to them about how they could improve the whole democratic process this time around?
The first thing I would say is that call-in interviews should be absolutely ended, that any candidate who wants to be interviewed and candidates should be interviewed, needs to come in, sit down in the studio, have a full give and take like we're having now from friendly and adversarial interviewers. That's the first thing. I think that they should change their policy on how these interviews are conducted. I think it's very important. This I do think the media has done, particularly the print media have done. They have, for instance, broadcast some of the things, say, that Donald Trump said that directly contradict what he says now. But the public, I think that it's really time for us to look in the mirror instead of looking at Trump or Hillary or Bernie Sanders, who I think also don't care for his tone very much either. But I think it's time for us to stop looking at all of the candidates and start looking at why we're willing to accept this. Now, look at it this way. A political candidate is running for political office. We don't expect him to be the Pope or a rabbi or anything like that. But we should expect him to conduct himself or her to conduct herself in a way that you would, I think the question of, would you like your kids to listen to this? Would you like your kids to hear this as an example of what our adult political process is like, is a very good one. And it's not like asking, do you want your kid to see pornography? That's different. This is something kids should be learning. The political process and what they're learning this year is horrible.
How would you rate this election cycle in terms of the manipulation of religion on the campaign trail?
During the early primaries in states like Iowa, there was a lot more talk about religion. You know, you notice you're not it depends a lot on the percentage of people who consider themselves extremely religious, not just religious, but extremely religious in a given state. You're not going to be seeing Trump, Clinton, Sanders spending a whole lot of time in churches in California, because California is not that there aren't lots of religious people in California, but that's not how their elections are decided. So I think earlier in the campaign, there was a lot more about religion. And there will probably be more coming up. But I think religion is coming up in these campaigns. And here's an interesting thing on the conversion issue too. I think, for instance, that immigration is a religious issue by another name in a way. Not wanting people to come across the border. It's cultural. It's also religious. There is a reason, for example, why the Catholic Church is more favorable to immigration than some other right-wing evangelical churches are. Historically, although that also is changing in Latin America, but historically, Latin American countries have been Catholic countries. Now, the Protestant evangelists are making a lot of progress there. Conversion never stops. It seems to be a human impulse to be looking for a different kind of truth. But, for example, certainly the saying, we're not going to let Muslims into the country. I mean, that is not just an issue involving terrorism and foreign policy. It's an issue involving what people think of an entire religion. And I am, by the way, I should emphasize, I am not one of those atheists, those people who say that terrorism has nothing to do with Islam. It has something to do with a particular form of Islam as practiced by ISIS and by some theocracies also as well. So in other words, I don't associate terrorism with Islam overall as a religion, but I do associate it with some forms of Islam. And I, to say it has nothing to do with this very bad form of a major religion, you know, any more than in Israel, ultra-Orthodox rabbis who try to relegate women to the back of the bus because their form of Judaism says that women shouldn't sit anywhere near men. This does have something to do with their form of Judaism, just as terrorism has to do with their form of Islam. But that is not everybody's form of Judaism or everybody's form of Islam.
What are you feeling about our public, the people of the United States? What are you feeling about our public after watching this election cycle?
I think that we are unbelievably lazy. And I had just returned from a book tour and I talked to a lot of students who were really angry to find out, you know, that because they didn't register a month ago, they couldn't vote for Bernie Sanders. I said, that's your fault. I said, you didn't take the trouble to find out that you do have to register a month. I think that we are always just willing to blame somebody else. Do I feel sorry for somebody who can't vote because they didn't bother to register a month ago? Didn't bother. It's the easiest thing in the world online to find out what your state's regulations are. Couldn't be bothered to do that. You know, what did they think? That the Democratic Party was going to come up to them and, you know, give them some bonbons and register them that they, you know, that they didn't have to go. I think most of what is wrong with the political process is ourselves. Our representatives are ourselves. We elect them. We allow the laws that they pass. We allow people not to be penalized for passing them. That's really what I think and feel.
Susan Jacoby is a best-selling author and public thinker whose books include The Age of American Unreason and Free Thinkers, A History of American Secularism. Her latest is titled Strange Gods, A Secular History of Conversion. Susan, the time always just gets away when you're here because it's always good to talk with you. I really appreciate you coming in to be with us in the studio today. You're always welcome on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.